Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
There is something about the name of Jesus that makes me want to say it again. There is something about the name of Jesus. Yes, something I can never explain. Oh, Jesus, my son, Jesus, what a wonder. Jesus, that makes me want to say it again. There is something about the name of Jesus that makes the demons tremble and flee. There is something about the name of Jesus that's drawing heaven nearer to me. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, what a wonderful name. Fills me with a happy. Something about the name of Jesus, my Jesus, that makes me want to say it again. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, what a wonderful name. Fills me with a happy refrain.
Hey, man, all right, that's the Jimmy Justice family. We appreciate them helping us out on the broadcast today, amen. We are looking at the sin of anger this week, and this is going to be part number two of the message. We've spoke about how that, about Moses, and we've talked about how that Moses and God got angry when they saw the idols that the Israelites had made while Moses was there with God, and we call that acceptable anger. There's a right to, we ought to be angry at sin, amen. There ought to be some righteous anger that comes out. But the Bible said this, be angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And so we are focusing once again on Ephesians chapter number 4, and we're looking at the text verse, verse number 26, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. This will be part number two of the message. Anger is an unpleasant emotion that we feel every time we get behind a school bus. It's triggered by all sorts of reasons, right? May I tell you this morning now, anger itself is not the problem. Did you know that there's actually good reasons to be angry? However, we often tend to get angry over the wrong reasons. We already spoke a little bit about the fact that we should be angry of what God hates. If God hates it, we ought to be angry. We ought to be wrathful about it. We ought to hate it too, amen. We ought to turn it off. We ought to pour it down the sink. Everything that God hates, we ought to get rid of those things that's in our lives. But let me say it this way. If God hates it, we should hate it. I want you to focus for just a minute on a couple of examples that I find in the Word of God that seems to speak about where God declares acceptable anger. The proper method, there's number one, there's the proper method of anger. Jesus, while in the temple, if you'll remember, they had taken and they were exchanging money within God's house. And Jesus walked in, he dumped over the money changers. He was upset, the Bible said. And the Bible said this, that he cleansed the temple. He ran them out. Amen. He was cleaning house. That is a righteous anger, amen. It ought to anger us whenever there's sin in God's house, amen. It ought to anger us every time we see something that's not done appropriately in God's house. It ought to anger us. It ought to infuriate us. We ought to be upset about it to the point where we drastically demand a change. Amen. That's the truth. But there's also another instance that I want to refer to this morning. Moses became angry. And he was up on the mountain with God. Him and God was having, fellowship. They were enjoying the things of the Lord. Actually, while he was there, God hand finger wrote, amen, the Ten Commandments. And Moses was so glad. He was so happy. He was so rejoicing. To be carrying the tablets that had the fingerprint of God on them. And Moses comes down out of the cloud on the mountain. He's been in the glory world. He comes down off the mountain to find people who could not contain themselves while waiting, had taken already, developed a molten golden calf and were falling down worshiping that calf. I want to read to you what the Word of God said in Exodus chapter number 32, verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them. God's angry now. And that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. He said, let's just start over. Moses and the Lord's been together. They've been there on the mountain. And God's saying now to Moses, he said, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's just wipe them out. I'll start over with you. Hold on, God. Calm down a little bit. I don't think you want to start over with me because I'm the same as them. You leave me alone away from you, and that's exactly what's going to happen to me too, right? And so Moses convinces God not to wipe them out. And so Moses comes down off the mountain. He gets angry. Boy, he's mad. They've done turned to idolatry. The Bible said in verse number 19, and it came to pass as soon as he had come down nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, and they break beneath the mount. If you think of the method of his anger, I know he's mad. I know he's upset. The reason why he's upset is because of their sin. He's infuriated because they done went to sin, and amen. God's mad because of their sin, amen. It's not because of the people. It's mad of what they're doing, amen. Can I tell you, I wonder today, if God doesn't look at you and I and look at us and say and get upset with the way we do things. Have you ever stopped to analyze your life? We're quick to judge the Israelites, and we see all their failures. We see all the helps that God blessed them with. But then all of a sudden, we want to look at them and say, "Oh, they're a bunch of misfits." But how about you? How about me? What's going on in our lives? I wonder how many times we've traded the things of God for idols. Listen, an idol don't have to be a golden calf. It can be money, it can be a job, it can be a car, it can be a boat, it can be an airplane, it can be anything that stands between you and God. We've talked about the method of being angry. And I'm going to tell you something. Anger is, if you spell it out correctly, anger is one letter away from danger. Anger can be very dangerous, friend. You better know that your anger has consequences. Anger can be sinful also. I like what another example we find in the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter number 5, speaking about the life of Naaman, Naaman's anger. Let me talk about him for just a minute. Naaman, he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, Naaman had a situation, and Naaman's leprosy, he had some of the people of captivity. There was a little maid girl there,
And that little maid girl was from Israel, and she took one look at Naaman, and she saw that leprosy there, and she said, you know what? My master can be healed if he'll go to Israel and speak to the king. I'll tell you what, I believe he'll get some help. And so that's what Naaman does. He speaks to his king, the king of Syria, and he talks to him for a little while, and he gives him letters to go and to speak to the king of Israel. And so he stands before the king of Israel. And I mean, that's probably, I don't know how many miles that was, but that was a ways. And so Naaman gets there, and he's expecting God to do something great for his life. He's getting ready to stand before the king of Israel. He's expecting that kingdom, and just poof, and all of his leprosy be gone. But it didn't work that way. In fact, when he stood before the king of Israel, what took place was this. The king said, what am I, God? Can you imagine somebody come to your house, knocked on the door, and said, okay, I'm here for you to cleanse me of leprosy. Let me go whip something up out of the refrigerator. What would you do? And so the king's upset. The king's like pulling his hair out. I'm not God. I don't know how. I can't do these things. But there's a man by the name of Elisha. Y'all know him. Oh, Elisha, praise God. He got word that the king was upset. And he got word that, man, there's a man showed up that had need of healing. And so the king sent this man, Naaman, to Elisha's house. And so Elisha, I don't know if it was his house, but it was a place wherever Elisha was at, right? And so he knocks on the door, and Elisha sends his servant and says, look here, I'm going to give him a prescription. Take it to the door, tell him what to do. And so the prescription read like this, go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Right. And so Naaman stayed there in his leprous condition, and he said, you got to be kidding me, man. What? I came all of this way. The king don't want to talk to me. And now I come to the prophet, and the prophet don't even want to come to the door. Yeah. What in the world? And the Jordan of all places. Why in the world would he send me to the Jordan River? I've got rivers at the house. It's a whole lot cleaner than Jordan. I don't know if you've ever been baptized in Jordan, but it's pretty nasty. I actually got to Jordan and said, I don't know about that either. When we were there, there was this green. Yeah, all over the top. I'm like, I'm going to get that in my hair. I think that's what Naaman was experiencing. I can go anywhere. So Naaman, look here, what I'm trying to say is this. He's mad because things are not going his way. Are y'all with me? So this is what takes place. Naaman goes down there, look, we've come all this way. Let's just do it according to the prophet said. Let's just go down there. Let's give it a try. He says, okay, all right. So he goes down there, and guess what? He dips the first time, and he comes up, and guess what? Nothing. The healer wasn't on the first time. According to the prescription of the man of God, it was going to be the 7th time. The 2nd time, no different. The 3rd time, no different. The 3rd time, let's just go back. The 4th time, no different. Can you imagine? Dipping in this nasty water? This ain't working. 6th time. I'm just ready to give up. I've come all this way for nothing. But on that 7th time, according to the word of the man of God, from the things of God, Amen. He came up that 7th time, and the Bible said that his body was as clean as a baby. You say, how is that, preacher? I'm telling you, because the word of God is the truth, amen. And if you'll do things God's way, I was praying this morning down and downstairs, and I got to pray this. I said, God, help me not to stand in your way, but to stand in your will. Help me not to stand in your way, but help me to stand in your will. Naaman didn't understand the circumstances to which he was to go, but can I tell you, there was a prescription that God wanted him to see, and he went on anyhow. You know, he was angry, I believe. He was angry at those causes. It was unjustified, but I'll tell you something. We get angry all the time.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732.
Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.